Welcome to Season 4 of Spin is a Four-Letter Word, Maroon's Mark. I'm John Maroon. As we celebrate 20 years of Maroon PR, this season is a toast to the relationships, risks, and lessons that shaped our journey. In each episode, I connect with a special guest who's left their mark on me, our agency, or our industry, offering real-world perspective for building what lasts. Grab a drink. Cheers to 20 years. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Spin is a Four-Letter Word, Maroon PR's podcast. This year, as you know, our podcast is called Maroon's Mark, celebrating our 20th anniversary and talking to 20 people that are meaningful to me personally and have really made a significant impact on our industry. And I am really fortunate and happy to be talking to my friend, Diane Pelkey, who is the head of communications and PR at Chewy. Diane, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. And congratulations on 20 years. What an accomplishment. Thank you for your friendship, partnership. I know we've done a number of events together over the years, initiatives at Under Armour, Sagamore Farm. And I've always really valued our partnership.
Well, thanks, Di. I feel the same way. And jumping into it, because you mentioned a couple of organizations that you'd been with, and your career path is a really cool one. So those listening and watching, tell us a little bit about this, because you're an international relations major at Boston University, but then the first job was at Adidas, and then you went to Reebok, and then ultimately came to Baltimore with Under Armour. Tell us a little bit of how that happened. What was that path like?
Yeah, sure. So I went to Boston University, and like many kids, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I entered the College of Liberal Arts School, and I majored in international relations and economics. But I was always very passionate about sports. And I knew a friend of a friend who had a job at Reebok. And at that time, Reebok was on fire. It was during the aerobics craze and Step Reebok. And they were leading the way, right behind Nike. So it was really like the sneaker wars, Nike and Reebok. Anyways, I had an opportunity for an internship. And then I, was really found my passion in PR. The internship was in PR. I was working in a brand that I loved, an industry that I loved. I was so excited. And then that led into a full-time position. And I worked my way up. I worked my way from intern to coordinator to, director of PR. And then I had an opportunity to go to the agency side. And what's interesting is a lot of folks will start agency side, then go to the corporate or client side. I kind of did reverse, but I really wanted that experience. I felt like I could be a better partner to agencies if I was on the agency side. So I worked for Cone Communications in Boston. And they, I managed Timberland and Barber Jackets and Dunkin' Donuts and had some really, really powerful, iconic brands. And I worked there for a few years. And while I was at Cone Communications, Reebok called me and said, hey, we need help on the Olympics in the Sydney 2000 Games. We'd love to hire you as a consultant. And so I was able to take a leave of absence from Cone. And then from there, I went back to Cone Communications, had an amazing experience in Sydney working at the Olympics. Yeah. And then I got recruited to come full time back to Reebok. Then I was at Reebok, and, it was an amazing journey. And while I was there, I crossed paths with Hal Birch. Hal Birch, not sure if you know Hal.
Very well.
But Hal at that time was a VP at Reebok. He went on to be leading an agency in Baltimore. But he said, hey, Under Armour's looking for a head of communications. And I was like, Under Armour? Where are they based out of? He's like, Baltimore. I was like, I don't know if I'm moving to Baltimore, but I will definitely have a conversation. So I met Steve Bautista at the Super Bowl in Miami. We really clicked, and then they brought me down for an interview, and I officially started in 2008 at Under Armour, and had an amazing career there. I think you have some questions later on just kind of about my journey, but I was there for 12 years, worked my way up from director all the way up to SVP. And then around 2019, Chewy came knocking. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing brand. And I really love the opportunity to storytell, be your own architect. So I ended up moving from Under Armour to Chewy in spring of 2020, right as the pandemic was starting. And so I head up all communications and report to the CEO at Chewy.
That's cool. What a journey it was. I'm curious now because I didn't know about the whole Sydney Olympics consultant thing. Did it ever cross your mind about like just going out on your own after that and saying, hey, I'm going to start my own thing? Or are you like, no, I want to get back to the agency or get back to the brand side?
Yeah, I thought about it over the years, but I never really, considered it seriously. And I was working for such great brands and I ended up, you know, it was something I had considered, but I never pursued it seriously.
Yeah, I was just curious. So one question, the one person that ties you and I together is a woman named Phyllis Marriage. So I talked to her. Phyllis was, my mentor before the mentoring was like a thing. And, you know, she was great to me. And you, her, and I all share that Middle Eastern blood. So we talk a lot about that. And I think that's how we came together. But you mentioned Howe and you mentioned Steve and a few other folks. Who, when you look back, like who were the real influences early in your career that helped you get that leg up, that really kind of shaped you and really taught you about the industry?
Yeah. Well, I honestly don't think it's a singular person. I would just say that it started really with my parents and my mother and having a really good work ethic. And I felt like that's what always set me apart from a lot of folks that I worked with. And then along the way, there were different nuggets and different, different lessons learned from different people.
Yeah.
Early on, there was a gentleman named Dave Fogelson at Reebok. And he was like an old school PR guy. And, you know, he was just really funny. He would say things to us and they're phrases that I literally remember till this day. And some of them, be like, finish the job. And what he meant by that is, don't do something halfway because somebody else is going to have to redo it. So, your first draft, your first, presentation, make sure that, you've spell checked it, you've reviewed it, you're delivering your best work. Another one that he said is don't assume anything. You make an ASS out of you and me.
Yes.
So it was just like so many phrases like that. He really kind of, I remember them to this day. But he was very protective. He was a little bit hardcore, but he taught us a lot. And then from there, Carol Cohn at Cohn Communications, she's the founder, learned a ton from her. And then different folks, at Under Armour, of course, Steve. And what I learned a lot, with Steve, not so much in PR, but the power of brand storytelling.
Yeah.
And Under Armour was so amazing at telling brand stories. And that's really how they made their mark and standing out, and appearing bigger than we were.
Yeah.
And so, over the years, there's been so many folks that I've, taken different nuggets from and learned from. But I would say that it really started with my parents.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And you alluded to the work ethic that they instilled in you. And I think anybody that's watching and listening that's either in PR or wants to get into PR, like it's not easy and it is not for the faint of heart. So work ethic is definitely key.
100%.
Yeah. So, Di, you're at Chewy. This is a dominant force, pet care and pet products. I'm one of your largest customers. half of our recycling bin every week is filled with Jack's boxes from Chewy. So, thank you. It's an amazing place. It's such a good thing. Tell us how different the experience has been at Chewy versus, when you were at the Sports Apparel Universe and at Under Armour. How different is your day-to-day work and how different is the environment? What's it like?
Yeah. I've been very fortunate to work for two amazing brands. I am incredibly grateful. And, Under Armour had that like underdog spirit and challenger brand and, that authentic connection with athletes. And I would say at Chewy, we have that authentic connection with pet parents. So we have, you know, built trust with our core consumers. And in fact, we, you know, our CEO often states, everybody in this company should think of themselves first and foremost as a customer care officer. So we always think about the customer in mind. And I don't know how much you know, I know you do, you are a Chewy customer, yeah. But you know, the one thing that we're big on is having that human connection. So if you call customer service, you are getting your call picked up within 5 seconds. You're getting a human on the phone. You, they're, you know, they are pet loving, you know, customer service reps, and they're there to help you. It's, they're not, a lot of customer care agents, you know, have a set time of, you know, turning and churning customer calls. You know, we let our customer care agents spend as much time as they need, and we're really a trusted resource for those pet parents. So I would say that, you know, two amazing brands. And as far as like PR day to day, like at any PR job, whether you're agency side, client side, you have your list of to do's. And you say, okay, I'm going to write this announcement. I'm going to work on this plan. But I would say, you know, not, you know, very similar to Under Armour is, you know, when I come in, oftentimes there could be a breaking news story. There could be something popping up on TikTok. There could be an unexpected ask from an executive. There are so many things that in a normal day that can, you know, that need our attention. And it's, you know, it makes it fun, but I would say that, you know, at Under Armour, we did big events with athletes and shoe launches. The fun thing about Chewy, we have a lot of fun and we do a lot of events with pets. So we recently did a big event in Miami at the Chewy Bark Park. And coming up soon, you're going to get a little teaser here.
Love it.
We will be holding the largest dog pool party in Miami at the Chewy Bark Park. So we have a lot of fun. So it's been amazing. And I feel really lucky to be part of the brand.
No, it's so cool. And it's funny, going back to your statement about customer service, we've experienced that firsthand. I mean, it really is remarkable. It's very rare. Like once in a while, a box comes, there's an item in there that maybe is extra. So Carolyn and I will call customer service and we'll say, okay, we'll just return it. And they're like, no, donate it to a shelter.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just that, and they're very responsive. To your point, you never feel rushed. You always feel like they care. There's a lot to be said for that in the world we live in today. That's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's really cool.
We've gotten a number of awards for our customer care and how outstanding it is. And we've been number one on Forrester every year as top retailer for customer service.
So, Di, as you have been in this industry a long time, we talk a lot about it here, about how the industry has evolved, and it's like evolve or die, right? And so I remember when I started this company, PR was just media relations. That was all it was, right? And then social came in, so we got involved in a little social, and then we have content creation, and even gotten into the ad buys a little bit, and working with influencers, and yada, yada. And now the whole AI thing, and I think it's really interesting to note that media relations is seeing an uptick because you're hearing that ChatGPT and Claude and those outlets now are using earned media to move up on the search rankings and stuff. So I guess that's a long-winded way of asking you, how have you been able to kind of adjust and evolve and stay on top of the new PR?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's something all PR executives and leaders are thinking about, talking about. You know, AI is transforming every industry, and, you know, comms is part of that as well. It's no longer, you know, like you said, the reporter calling you, you have 24 hours to respond. Oh, let me work on my statement. The ecosystem is so much bigger, and we see how fast stories move today, and everyone can be a reporter. It could bubble up on TikTok. It could bubble up on Facebook, and, you know, podcasts and so many forums. And, you know, AI is part of the game. I think, you know, you have to be on your front foot and not on your back foot and be savvy on sort of both like proactive and reactive, how you're utilizing AI as a tool, and almost think of about it as like an assistant on your team. And I read somewhere prompting is the new typing.
Right.
I think about how everybody was, you know, typing, learning how to type, you know, the World Wide Web, et cetera. So, you know, it's all about the prompts and utilizing the prompts in a really thoughtful, smart way to get the information that you need, whether it's a briefing on a reporter, utilizing it to get competitive information. So there's a lot of ways that you can get smarter on prompting. And then as far as being sources being cited, we're also looking at ways of, you know, okay, what's populating to the top? What stories do we want cited? And how do we make sure that that's then being pulled in into the AI platforms? So we're doing a lot of work. Our team has had several like workshops, and we have a lot of custom ChatGPTs. So what's very cool is that, you know, you can create these custom GPTs and put in for your executives all of their speeches and interviews at CNBC. And so we have it one for our CEO. And so it's like, instead of searching through documents, we could be like, okay, what did he say about customer care? Let me find that comment.
Really smart. It's really cool to see how advanced you guys are on that. We're in that process right now, right? Educating and learning, getting quad integrated with our Outlook and our teams and all that stuff. And it's a little overwhelming for an old fart like me, but it's kind of cool that we're staying on top of it. I love it.
Yeah.
We both kind of started our careers with internships that led to jobs, right? We both kind of were in that fortunate space where the timing was right and it was great and we did a good job and we got that. What advice would you give young people saying, I want a career in communications or PR or whatnot? Like, what's a good advice? Because I always tell the young folks that I talk to, like, in a lot of ways, you guys have a bit of a leg up. Your social media is like second nature to you. You're starting to understand AI more than we do. But what do you tell young folks trying to get in?
Yeah, I think, you know, the power of networking cannot be minimized. And you know this in your business, and I know this. And I think own your personal brand and, you know, be purpose driven. And when I say own your personal brand, LinkedIn is such a powerful platform for everybody. And it's not, you know, it used to be thought of as more of a recruiting platform. It now we consider it an earned owned media channel. So everyone has their own channel that they can network, put out, you know, stories, put out positioning pieces, network with, you know, different executives. I would get out to as many events as possible, make those face-to-face connections. That's how you're going to stand out. And, you know, just follow your passion. And that's like something I would say too about me is, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew what I was passionate about. And when I fell into it, I would do anything. If they were like, hey, we need this shoe from Boston to New York for a presentation, I was like a coordinator. Would anybody jump on the Delta shuttle? And, you know, it was like within an hour's notice. I'm like, I'll go. So those kind of things, it's just, you know, having that, you know, tenacity and relentless work ethic, I think is really important.
So funny. We're so on the same page. I tell them, like, if you want to do this, like, go out and get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, volunteer for anything, do anything. I remember working I'm going to really date myself, but the 1986 World Series, I was in college and needed runners in the press box. And it was great, but it was, you know, hard work and late nights and all that jazz. And that led to that internship. So yeah, I couldn't agree more. Not getting specific or throwing anyone under the bus, but when it comes to PR pros that like make, what's a common mistake you see PR pros make that's really easily correctable? To me, I kind of hammer our guys, like, know the journalists before you reach out to them. Like, really study them. Make sure they've covered this. Make sure it's of interest to them. The last thing you do is just send a pitch to the 10 wrong people. You look like a schmo. You're not going to get any traction. What about you? Like, what do you see?
Something I've seen, and especially in the environment that we're in today, is letting your personal emotions impact your decision making.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, the world, we have a lot going on. It's incredibly divided. There's societal issues, political issues, and a lot of companies, brands, athletes, influencers are thrown in the middle of it. And so PR, you know, we're required to have incredibly high judgment. And that is not something that can be taken over by AI. I know you've probably faced different situations in your career. So I really coach my team on, you know, try to take the emotion out of it. What is best for the brand? What is the best positioning statement? What is the best move? What is the best, you know, how we, you know, are we proactive? Are we reactive? So that's one thing I see a common mistake, and it's very hard for people to kind of separate those two. The other thing I would say is, you know, like you made this comment, there wasn't social media, you know, when we started out. So our relationships, our networking were so critical. And one thing that I think is very important for PR folks today is, yes, there are shrinking newsrooms, but it is so important to have those relationships with those reporters. And you don't want to be in a crisis situation or have a situation where it's the first time you're reaching out to that reporter.
Yes.
You want to build that trust. You want to have that relationship. So when you have to go to them in like a time of crisis, or you want to get out your narrative about something, they're a trusted contact. And it goes both ways. You're also giving them things. They're giving you things. You know, over the years, I've developed amazing relationships with many of the financial reporters on CNBC, Yahoo Finance. I'm still to this day super close with Darren Rovell. Yeah. So I have my Rolodex of different reporters and, you know, formed a strong kind of partnership with for many years.
That is incredible advice. And look, it's you formed it by working hard, being truthful to them, delivering when they need something, being there for them, not just for you. You've done all that stuff. I always harp on our guys, get out there. Let's keep this going. It goes beyond texting and emails. Like, get that cup of coffee. Really get to help them whenever they call. Don't wait 3 days, right?
100%. And that's what really stands out. And reporters have more and more pressure these days. You know, have to, it's multimedia. They're expected to think about the news cycles and how fast they're going. So the easier that you can make their job and, you know, provide them the information, give them, and also know who is their audience and what's important to them and what's really news.
That's right. And the last thing I'll say, you mentioned the shrinking newsrooms. And I think a lot of PR pros look at that and freak out. We try to look at that as an opportunity, right? They're stretched. They need us more than ever. They're willing to take B-roll that maybe they wouldn't have taken 10 years ago. They're willing, like, if you can make their life easy and give them a good story that's turnkey. Here's the spokesperson. Here's the assets you need. What time do you need to do it? Make that happen. That goes a long way, not only for that story, but for the future. But great advice, Ty. Thank you. Couple more, and then we'll let you go. Throughout your amazing career, I know it's hard to nail down, but like, what are a couple of your most memorable moments or memorable campaigns or that sort of thing?
So, you know, when I think back, there isn't, you know, one or two things. There were so many incredible events, world tours with Tom Brady, the first time he had been to Asia, Stephen Curry, you know, various shoe launches, you know, launching our first running shoe at Under Armour and, you know, opening the Brazil store for the first time, you know, all over the world and many in the United States. But one that does stick out is, you know, you learn the most in times of crisis or the times that sometimes were the hardest on you. And that's where you really come out and you really grow as a PR person and as a professional. So one that really sticks out is the Sochi Olympics. And I don't know if you remember, it was in 2014 and Under Armour had partnered with Lockheed Martin. And we had declared that this was the fastest speed skating suit ever produced, and it would give the athletes an unfair advantage. And we did a big PR event, unveiled these boots, had aerodynamics and you know, amazing like videos and, you know, head of innovation talking. Fast forward Olympic Games, and the athletes weren't winning, the U.S. athletes were not winning medals. And one of the athletes kind of offhandedly said to a reporter, well, maybe it's these new suits from Under Armour. Well, that story spiraled. I got a call from the Wall Street Journal. It took off from there. Headline was, you know, Under Armour suit blamed for, you know, athletes, you know, going slow, not winning medals. So we really had right away, we approached it with transparency. We never blamed the athletes. We sent a seamstress to Sochi to help tweak the suits. We offered them, hey, if you want to go in your old suit, we'll be supportive of that. Our goal is to get you on the podium and win. And very unexpectedly, we actually doubled down on speed skating. So speed skating wasn't one of our core sports. It wasn't football. It wasn't basketball. It wasn't lacrosse. And we, in the middle of the Olympics, when we were getting attacked, we ended up doubling down and extending the partnership for another 8 years.
Wow.
Kevin and I went, Kevin Plank said, hey, let's, you know, I was like, hey, we should do some interviews. And he was thinking, okay, we could do these from Baltimore. I'm like, no, we need to do these face to face, be, you know, at the desk, talking to reporters one to one. So we went up to New York. We did a series of interviews. And we really attacked it head on. And, you know, as a result, our stock went up. We had, you know, amazing accolades. And Ad Age, literally a headline in Ad Age said, a textbook case from Under Armour on how to handle a crisis.
I hope that's framed somewhere, Dyer. That's
right. I don't know if it's framed, but I literally, but we, it was reported on many different news outlets that we really handled it perfectly. We were under fire. We were under attack. And then, you know, we won a PR Week award. So it's something I'm very proud of.
Should be.
And I learned a lot. And it's almost the speed in which stories can take off and the importance of really controlling your narrative and, you know, addressing it head on and not, you know, I mean, back then it wasn't even as it is today, where stories are moving as fast, but social media was out there and the stories and the narrative, it was so important to help shape it.
I think what's amazing about that is, and a lesson for a lot of PR people out there, is so easy to circle the wagons, don't say anything,
exactly,
hide and let it pass over. And my hunch is, while Kevin was trusted you implicitly and listened to you, there's probably other voices inside out there like, what are we doing? Don't talk about this. Let it pass. Let it go away. And for you to say, no, we're leaning into this. We're going to own this and we're going to take it on was a really kind of bold move, whether you realized it at the time or you're just like, oh, shit. You know, my instincts, I'm going with it. But what
sometimes you're learning while you go.
Yeah.
And it's gut instinct.
Yeah.
And we always knew we're going to stand with the athlete. Our goal is to help the athlete be the best they can be.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our core principle, our North Star. And then everything kind of fell into place.
Wow. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
And Diane Pelkey, head of communications and PR at Chewy, and my friend, Di, thank you so much for taking some time. Everything you said was so meaningful. I think it's going to resonate with those listening and, young people, experienced PR pro. So really, I'm grateful for the time. I love seeing you at Chewy and I appreciate it and wish you nothing but the best moving forward.
Thank you so much, John, and congratulations on all your achievements. I've really enjoyed working with you. Thank you.
Feelings mutual. Diane Pelkey, everybody.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.